So last week we heard from Robbie and from Eric Gossi about how great Bob and Teresa were in leading Financial Peace. Well, this week we're going to hear from Bob and Teresa themselves. So they'll come up and join me. And we're going to do white and red mics. So here we go. So Financial Peace University, I've heard a lot about it. But Bob, can you tell us a little bit about what it is?
Okay. This is a 9-week class that addresses your personal finances. And why would we do this? The Bible talks about abundant life a lot. And it's hard to experience abundant life when you are weighed down with all types of debt. So that's the main focus of the 9 weeks. Some of the topics that we will discuss will be how we relate to our finances, how we relate to our money. And to clarify that a little bit, we're all influenced by our family. We're influenced by our friends. Today, we're influenced by our social media. So all of those thoughts go into how we approach our finances. Then we'll talk about how to attack and dump debt, how to create an emergency fund, the role of insurance in our life. We'll talk a little bit about mortgages and loans. We'll talk about retirement. And then the best part at the end, we talk about tithing and the ability to help others. And that is really a joyous part of the lesson.
Yeah. So I've talked to several of the graduates that have gone through class with both of you. And they've all told me big changes that have happened in their life because of taking the class. So, Teresa, talk to us a little bit about the impact that taking the class has on folks.
Well, I think the biggest impact is on Bob and I, because we get to know the people that are in our class, and we become very close to them. We learn to love them, and we learn to be able to help them. We have a lot of instances where people learn to use their resources in a better fashion. One couple decided that they needed to get rid of their debt, so they quit eating breakfast and lunch out, and they saved $300 a month. Another couple decided they'd have a garage sale, and all the money that they made, the $400, went toward their debt. The first class that we had, the debt was $700,000 for all the participants. And by the end of the session, $114,000 in debt had been dumped, which we think is pretty amazing. One of the things that we find in all of this is that the folks have learned that credit cards are not their friend. Savings for their future is imperative. It's the most important thing they can do, and that tithing and giving to others is one of the benefits that they finally get after getting rid of the debt.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for leading the class and for helping us today. And Financial Peace starts the first Sunday in January. It's going to be Sunday mornings. And if you're interested in signing up, there's sign-up sheets on the bulletin board, the hub, right back here. Or if you go down to the office here, there's a table out front that's got sign-up sheets. So it's a great thing to get involved in.
Good morning, Jake.
Good morning, Bob. We haven't really introduced ourselves.
Jake, this is Jake Taylor. I'm Bob Spreading. Wayne Bandy. There you are. We call ourselves coaches. By the way, this must be friends and family of these two lovely girls we baptized today, right? Amen. Yay. I told Daniel it's just one of the joys of my life is to be a part of seeing families like this do what y'all are doing. And when mom and dad start loving the Lord, then the kids do. And when I said this is their playhouse, it is. They know every room in this building. And if they don't, by the time they're 14, they will.
And, Bob, did you know that Daniel started coming to church, to Maywood, for the first time for the Financial Peace class?
I do now.
Okay, well,
very good.
That was true.
Well done.
So
all right.
That can happen.
Very good. We call ourselves coaches for just what we got to do. Used to be the only person who could baptize anybody was somebody who had gone through seminary, had a degree, and all of that. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches the priesthood of all believers. That means everybody here gets to serve God. It's an honor and it's a privilege. Amen. So what we do is we try to coach you to do the best that you can do. So that's our plan. And so with that being said, let's jump into the sermon. Why don't you pray for us, Jake, and we'll dig in.
God, I thank you that you are incredibly generous with us. And I pray today that you would be generous and speak through Bob and I. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And you all see the topic, generosity. By the way, that lady is opening a gift that is not for her. You didn't know that story, but Jake told it to me. That lady is full of joy because she's giving a gift to somebody else. And we're going to talk about how we can be people who give. But to be able to be people who give, you have to have something to give. And there are lots of ways that you all give. I have to applaud you. I say this a lot, and it's right. You're the hardest working church people I know. You are so good, so please don't hear any negative stuff here. But if it comes down to giving money, you have to be careful. And we're kind of promoting the financial piece with this. So if you do that, you got to be careful not to be dragging along a credit card. So I like that image. That pictures, I don't know what amount of that $700,000 worth of debt was credit card debt, but I know this, if they paid off $100,000 of it, $100,000 of it was credit card debt. And so credit card debt is very deceptive. I'm going to be really quick with it. But if you this Christmas say we're going to provide Christmas for our family and you rack up $1,000 worth of debt, excuse me, go back to that. Thank you. Go back to that verse. Jake is helping me with my notes. The borrower is the slave of the lender. Pretty good, isn't it, huh? Now let's flip it on. If you rack up $1,000 worth of debt and you pay the minimum balance, you will be paying, before you have that $1,000 paid off, $393, okay? Now, if you are like Tony and me, we've been married 36 years. If you started that as a habit when you were young, and now 36 years down the road, you didn't change your behavior, your interest would be $14,148. What's interesting is most of us don't stop at $1,000. We go until we start getting those bill collection notices. I had a friend of mine in Louisiana. I was thinking about this earlier. A friend of mine in Louisiana, he had a large cardboard box, and I said, "What's in there?" He says, "Those are all the judgments against me." And he's not the only one in the world who has that. And so we do ourselves a great favor if we learn how to dump the debt like Bob and Teresa talked about that. And that will free us up to do some things. Let me just give you a couple of tips from our family. Eric did a nice gift to his wife, Rachel, last Sunday when he said that he was the saver and she was the spender, and he was ordering her to go to the Financial Peace University. Thank you. Good, nice. Good job, Eric. Have you ever gotten out of the doghouse yet? You still there? Well, in our family, Tony is the saver and I'm the spender. And so here's a few things that we have done. We have taken my credit card out of my wallet. You can't have it. All right? We have cut up my credit card in the past. We have just put it on a shelf where I didn't know where it was. All right? We have currently, I have one now in my pocket, but we have currently taking me out of the debit card. You know how easy debit cards are to drain your bank account? Okay, yeah, I hear some amens on that. My wife has me on an allowance. I'm 66 years old. I'm back on an allowance, all right? And Jake, you know it's true.
It is true. Sometimes we're going to go out to lunch, and sometimes Bob's allowance doesn't allow it. It's like, I got to pick up the tab. So.
Jake, you got to buy.
It's not very often. But.
Now, Tony will tell you, we don't divulge secrets here, but she will tell you how much that has saved the Spradling family since I've started doing that. And I will guarantee it's a chunk. So those are some things that you can do the Financial Peace Course are going to give you a lot more techniques. But why do it? Well, we're going to talk about two angles. We're going to talk about the old guy. This is towards the end of the sermon. The old guy who said, I earned my money. I got it, and you can't have it. We'll talk about him for a second. He does not fare too well in our story. But Jake has got a fun story to tell, and so why don't you do it?
Yeah. So we start off the sermon talking all this practical stuff about debt, and we read that verse in Proverbs. Why is God worried about helping us get out of debt? Well, it's because if you're stuck in debt, it's really hard to be generous. If you're spending more than you earn, there literally isn't anything left to share. So we're going to talk about a story. It's a fictional story just made up. It's about a guy named Jack, a girl named Jill. They're friends, and for their New Year's resolution, they decided, you know, they typically would go to Starbucks every day. They'd buy coffee. So their sorry, Don. So their New Year's resolution was to just stop doing Starbucks for that year. And Jack was a really, really nice guy. And so Jack decided with his $5, he was going to help somebody every day. His goal for the year was every day of that year make somebody smile with that $5. So sometimes he would give it to somebody who was begging for money. Sometimes he would buy a coloring book for the kids up the street. Sometimes he'd buy McDonald's for the people in line behind him, or the person maybe. And whenever he was at the laundromat, there was this girl there, Sarah. He would always buy $5 worth of quarters for her and kind of make her day. She was a single mom. She always had a lot on her plate, so he would pay for her laundry that night. Well, one night, Sarah said something that was really good news, but it actually made Jack frown. And what Sarah said is when she saw him, Jack thought, oh, she's smiling. She's excited because I'm here to buy her laundry. But she wasn't worried about the laundry at all. She was like, you won't believe what happened to me. And she tells Jack this awesome story she's excited about of someone had spent $1,800 and bought her a car. And she was just bubbly with excitement because now she was finally going to have the transportation she needed to get that job. And she was finally going to be able to take her kids where they needed to go. And it was just going to change her whole life. And she was on cloud nine. And Jack, even though he's a nice guy, he kind of frowned to himself and kind of was sad because he thought, man, here I've been trying so hard this year to make people's lives better, and I could never do something like that. I could never buy somebody a car. So Jack's kind of moping, and he asks Sarah, he says, well, who bought you the car? And she says, well, don't you know Jill? She's the one that bought me the car. And Jack thinks, how on earth did Jill get enough money to buy a car? So he goes and asks Jill. And Jill says, well, yeah, remember that New Year's resolution that we started about a year ago? She said, every day, I put $5 in a jar. And she asked Jack, she said, do you know what 360 times 5 is? And Jack wasn't very good at math, but he could figure it out based on the context that, was it $1,800? She's like, yeah. And so Jack realized he could give to that level. In fact, they both had given that same amount that year. So Jack's not the failure in the story and Jill's not the hero. Both of them gave literally the same amount, but they chose to give in different ways. And it's hard to measure the impact. I mean, Jack may have made a huge impact on those hundreds of people that he helped. And Jill obviously made a giant impact on one person's life, and maybe through that, some other folks, like her kids and things like that. Today in the series, we're talking about generosity. We want you guys to be aware of the different ways that we can be generous. A lot of us, when we think of helping someone else, we think in the price range of about $5 to $50. That's what a lot of us can reach into our wallet and we can give somebody just on a whim when we feel like, oh, I want to help that person. A lot of us think, I could never give a car to someone, or I could never give $2,000 to somebody. But the reality is, savings is that way that you strengthen your giving power. It's not the only way that we can be generous, but it's an option that I think a lot of us never even think about. That you could save a little bit for 360 days and make a giant impact in somebody's life. Now, the tricky thing about saving money is when we start to pile up money, even if we start small, sometimes that can be a dangerous thing. Sometimes we're not generous. But I want to take you guys to a story in the Bible about this savings done right. And so in John chapter 12, there's a story of a lady. She had a great encounter with Jesus. You have to read the story for yourself in John 12. But her brother and her sister and her were all out hosting Jesus at their house. And they probably weren't a very affluent family. But Mary, the lady here I'm kind of representing with this picture, she goes onto the mantle and gets this really precious jar of perfume. And we're going to talk about what she does with it. So in verse 3 of chapter 12, it says, "Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume." Now, if you're reading the Bible earlier in the morning, you haven't had your cup of coffee, you read that sentence, you might kind of just breeze over it. But if you do a little research on how much was a pint of pure nard perfume, I mean, I don't know that off the top of my head, how much was that worth in ancient Israel about 2,000 years ago? Well, you would find out that it was worth about a year's wages for the average Hebrew. So to put it in independence terms, she's holding something in her hands that's worth $20, $30, maybe $50,000. I mean, I get nervous holding something in my hands that's worth a few hundred dollars. Like, I might drop it, you know? She's holding something that's worth $50,000. And think about this. If you had something sitting on your mantle at home that was worth $50,000, think about how often you'd be tempted to go sell that and solve some problem, solve some fight you got into with your spouse, or solve some big bill that came up, or remodel part of your house, or do some incredible vacation. Well, Mary had those same opportunities, maybe not specifically, but every day she could have sold that perfume and solved some sort of problem. But she saved it. And every day she could have dipped into it and said, well, today's a special day. I'm going to put a little dab and smell awesome today. But she didn't. She saved it. So by saving that super precious thing every day, well, what did she decide to do with it? The next part of that verse says she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So in our culture, we don't really touch people's feet. That's not something we really do. In their culture, washing someone's feet was a very humble way to show, to care for somebody. So Mary very humbly cares for Jesus, but she's also incredibly extravagant. She doesn't just put a dab or two of perfume on Jesus' feet to make them smell good. She pours out $50,000 worth of perfume on Jesus' feet, so much that the entire house smells great. Now, some people around her start to balk at this and they start to complain, oh, she should have done something better with that. She should have helped the poor. She shouldn't have wasted it. But Jesus sticks up for her and says she's done something great, and it will always be told whenever my story is told. Now, when we hear that story about Mary in the Bible, we might think, well, I could never do something really extravagant for Jesus. I could never afford to pour out $50,000 in some way of love towards Jesus. But I bet Mary probably couldn't have afforded it ever again after doing this. She probably couldn't have afforded it except for this one thing that she saved, probably her whole life. Maybe she inherited that jar of perfume. So here's the biblical example of the right way to use savings to be extravagant. She saves every day, so in the right moment she can pour out more than anyone would expect. I mean, have you ever been like Mary? Have you ever been so generous that other people said, whoa, that's too much? If you go around buying people's cars, other people are going to say, whoa, you know, you're doing too much. People are going to take advantage of you. If you save, you get to the spot where you have the financial strength to be extravagant with people. And that's really awesome. Like, that's a great thing to do. It's not the only way to be generous, but it's one of the ways that we can be generous. Here's the risk, though. There's a great big payoff if you save and are generous well, but there is a risk. When we save a bunch of money, sometimes that can mess up our heart, actually. Sometimes we can get consumed with that security that we think money brings. So Bob, talk to us about that.
Okay, we're going to talk about this guy with the wad of money in 1 second. Before we do, while you were talking, Jake, it dawned on me, some of you have done over the last couple of years what you were just describing. We've had some campaigns for additional funds here, and I have been totally humbled by the giving that you all have given for people or for causes. You have done a fabulous, fabulous job. This fellow's an example of doing it wrong. You don't know much about him. He's actually not fictional. My picture is fictional, but the character's true. There was a guy that spotted a car, real high dollar, very expensive sports car over in Kansas, and the license plate said, "Earn it. Earn it." And my guess is that fella who had that very expensive car and the license plate that said, "Earn it," thought, "This is mine. And I'm going to hold on to it. And I'm going to keep it. And I'm proud of what I've accomplished and what I've done." And you could just take that on and on. And there's a real temptation for us when we acquire something to say, "This is mine." Okay? Paul wrote to Timothy and he said something different. Let's read it. He said, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant." So that's the fellow with the vanity plate who says, "Earn it." Or it's the guy who polishes his car, or the so on and so on with that, okay? Not to be arrogant, but to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. And so that's a word for us. So let's balance out our story. Here are the people who are going to get out of debt, who have heard a message about generosity, which says if they save $5 a day, they can really do something amazing. But we need to balance that with, let's not become stingy and arrogant and think that our security is wound up in our bank account. Okay? So let's move another picture real quick, Jake. And this is K.C. Wolf. He is going to be in action in about 15 minutes. He's maybe already stirring up the crowd, okay? K.C. Wolf, his name is Dan Mears. He's been here at this church to speak. He's a great man. Goes to, I think, First Baptist Raytown, last I heard. And he's a wonderful guy. Many of you all know he had an accident last year. He was going to be on a zip line starting at the lights at Arrowhead Stadium. And then he was going to zip down and zoom over the field and bounce back up, and it was going to be a big thing. But they rigged the zip line wrong, and he crashed into two seats. He hit them so hard he tore two stadium seats out of the concrete. And he said what was worse is he wasn't through. The zip line then carried him all broken right up into the air like it was supposed to. And he will probably never ever be free from the pain of that injury, but God spared his life. I heard Dan speak, 6 months ago, maybe less than 6 months ago, and he had a lot of really good things to say, but one of the things he said was this: "Here's what I've learned from my accident. I am never, ever going to just spend my life. I choose to invest my life." Boy, the lights went on in my head, and I thought, what a wonderful thing to hear. I'm not just going to spend my life. I'm going to invest my life. And that involves money, but it involves time. It involves talents. You know, Tony and I have a couple of little grandkids, and I've told her, we're in training. Folks, we're in training because we need to be around for a while for those kids if God gives us the grace. You think about investing your life, not just spending it. So that's a piece of that, and that's a wonderful balance. And Jake's going to take us to the next step.
So normally, a typical sermon we'll start off with kind of the easy draw-in stuff, and we'll work to like some really hard finish. Like, now you got to go out there and sacrifice. Today, we've kind of gone backwards. We've started with debt is really hard on your generosity, and probably should try to get out of debt. And we've now talked about getting rid of Starbucks, which is going to be super hard for some of us over there, baby. And I mean, not that
there will be a special prayer line right here for all those. Don, I'll be ready for you, okay?
And we've talked about not putting our hope in wealth. We're going to get to a really, really easy application here, and it's what ties all of this together in a healthy way. So let's read how Timothy ends that verse, or how Paul ends it to Timothy. He says, command them to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. That is a lot of goodness packed into that little verse. Richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. You see the story about Mary in John 12, where she's just crazy extravagant. You think, how could you ever pour out $50,000 just to honor one person? You know who else was in the house that day? It was Mary's brother. And we don't have time to go into all the story, but I can guarantee you that Mary, every time she saw her brother, thought, thank you, Jesus, that I still have my brother. If you woke up every day and said, thank you, Jesus, for a relationship, thank you, Jesus, for something that I have, then you're ready to be extravagant in the way that you give. So we don't start being generous givers by just trying really hard. When little kids learn how to do stuff, they learn it by watching someone else and then imitating. And if we want to be generous givers, we need to watch God. Pay attention to how he's provided for you, and then try to do that for someone else. And along the way, enjoy it. You know, yesterday, God gave all of us like a little weather vacation to California. I mean, it was 60 degrees on December, whatever it is, December 12th or whatever it was yesterday. I mean, he just brought the weather to us. You know, he didn't take us all to the beach, he just brought it to us. But did we enjoy that? I mean, maybe some of us did. But your life is full of things that God's provided for your enjoyment. But a lot of times we'll fret over the one relationship that's hurting or the one bill that we didn't expect. And we've got 99 awesome things going on in our life that we don't even really enjoy. If we started every day by saying, God, thank you for this, I'm going to spend some time enjoying it. I'm going to get outside and hang out with my family. Or I'm going to invest in this person or that person. And then after we say, thank you, God, for giving us that, what if we said, now I want to try to help somebody else in that way? I want to do in a small way what God's done for me. If God's blessed you with mobility, maybe you bless somebody else by giving them a ride. If you've been saving, maybe you bless someone else by literally giving them a car. But think about the ways that God blessed you, enjoy that blessing, and then try to imitate what God's done for you.
All right. Amen. Thank you, Jake. We're going to just invite you all to respond. We don't believe that sermons are just for us to dispense information and for you to sit back there and to applaud every so often and try to stay awake during the other times. We think that there's a chance to respond. So you maybe heard something. Maybe you heard, I could do $5 a day. I could change my lifestyle and do $5 a day for somebody. Wouldn't it be amazing? And wouldn't you have a lot of fun? There may be somebody who'd say, you know, I have not been trusting God, and I'm going to trust him for my provision, okay? I'm going to really seek him. You know, right in the middle of the very best prayer in the world is, give us this day our daily bread, okay? There's somebody who came in and said, you know what, I'm just here because I need God. And so forget everything we said and throw yourself on him. Just say, God, I need you today. I guarantee he'll hear you. He will hear you. All right? And there's probably some of us who need to say, God, I'm through just spending my life. I choose today to invest my life for the rest of my life. What a good choice. Whatever it might be. And so why don't you stand, please, and we'll pray together. And then there'll be a group of people who'd like to pray with you while the worship team leads us a couple songs. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for your grace, and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the folks who are here in this building today and the folks that make up Maywood, the visitors, the regular folks. Thank you for that. Lord, you've graced us so abundantly. I thank you for all the wonderful giving that's already been taking place here. And I just pray, Lord, that as we think about the ability to be generous with our lives, whether it's our time or our energy or our finances or whatever else it might be, Lord, show us how we can invest our lives in you and in other people. Thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Respond, please, as God speaks to you.